Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We are in chapter 10, and this evening we're going to do something a little bit different with our format. I'm going to read the entire chapter at one time, so I want you to follow along with me as we read chapter 10 together, and then we'll discuss it. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he sat his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that there are in, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Now, obviously, things are not just laid out in the book of Revelation to where they're easily understood, and you have to stay with it. You have to understand symbolism and epithets, metaphors, things of this nature as we go through this. And also another caution is don't take this as chronological order. And you'll find that in other books of the Bible, especially like Jeremiah. He'll tell you one thing, and a few chapters later he's talking about something that happened prior to what he told you. But it's a fact of just documenting. And what John is seeing is like frames or segments. And so he sees this, and then he sees this, and then he sees this. And I believe it's designed that way to where the devil can't interpret what's going on, if I can say it that way. Okay? And so when John saw this strong angel, and the Greek word for angel and messenger are one and the same. Anglias, okay? And so the jury's out in a lot of cases is whether or not we're talking about an angel or a messenger. But I think you're going to find as we conclude the book of Revelation, the one that's showing this to John is a messenger. And I think this is pretty much defined there toward the end, okay? And so he's clothed with a cloud, a rainbow on his head, his face like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. And so this is an awesome being, whomever he is. In his hand he held a little scroll that was open. Yeah, not like the sealed, but this one is open. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. Now, you'll find that as we go through this, the sea is symbolic of people the earth, the symbolic of the land where the people dwell. And so it's like he's making connection with the people and the land, okay? And he says that when he cried, it was like a lion roaring. In other words, it's an intimidating sound that John hears. And when he did this, he said seven thunders uttered their voice. Now, that's interesting because we don't generally think of thunder as voice, but I do want you to think about the awesomeness of thunder close range. I mean, it can, your whole house, you can feel it just rumble.
Mm-hmm.
The noise of that thing. So what John's seeing is something pretty awesome when he hears these seven thunders, but he understands what's said. But he's told, do not write it. And so we do not know what the seven thunders said, although I have heard people teach in Revelation that say they knew what the seven thunders, but I don't see it. I never see the interpretation. It's a private interpretation. I don't see the scriptures interpreting. And John certainly did not write it. So if John didn't write it, other chapters can't be revealing it. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's told to write these things. Now, the angel that John saw standing on the sea and the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and he just swears by the one who lives forever, that created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. And listen to what he says. Time has run out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more time. You understand that. There's no more time. What's going on? God's judgment and God's wrath is being poured out. Okay? So time has run out. And in that day that the seventh angel blows his trumpet, he says that the mystery of God that he has revealed or that his servants, his prophets, the slaves, actually the word is slaves if you look at it in the Greek, but the prophets have prophesied all these years. He said that when the seventh trumpet sounds, that this is going to be completed. What these prophets have prophesied, everything will be consummated. Okay? Now the voice that John heard from heaven spoke to him again. Remember that scroll that said, he said, now go take the scroll out of that angel or messenger's hand. And so John went to the angel and he said, give me the scroll. And so the angel said to John, all right, take it and eat it. In your mouth it'll be sweet as honey, but when it hits your stomach, it's going to be bitter. Now, you understand what he's eating is going to be what he's prophesying. And so often when the Lord reveals something to you that he wants you to deliver to the people, and I'm talking about from a minister's perspective, it's sweet to you. In other words, when you get the revelation, man, that tastes good. But when you start meditating on it and digesting that thing and realize the repercussions and all of that come with that, then it has the bitter taste to it. And I believe this is what he's referring to with John, because John is going to be prophesying some tough stuff as we go along. Okay, good to get the word of the Lord. Man, it tastes good when you're eating it. But then when it gets in, and the reality of the content sets in, it has a different taste to it. And the angel said to John, you must prophesy again to many people, races, languages, and rulers. And so just the fact of what he's telling him, to me, indicates that what he's eating in the scroll is going to be, the content of it is going to be what he's telling other people that he's going to be prophesying.
Chapter 11.
Okay.
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner, and he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that if it rains not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and is to come, because you have taken to you your great power and have reigned. And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto your saints, the prophets, and to the saints, and to those that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
Okay, the angel gave John a reed, resembled a stick, and to me there's some similarity here. If you look at Ezekiel, which is extremely difficult to understand, where he is seeing an angel measure a temple with a stick or a reed, okay? Mm-hmm. And here he tells him to measure the temple of God, the altar, and the worshipers. Now, that's interesting that he's saying measure the worshipers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't give you a lot of dialogue on that because I don't understand all of it, okay? And John was told not to measure the outer court of the temple because that was given to the non-Jewish people. And he said, they're going to tread. Now, here's where I want you to keep up with your math as we go through this. Because people talk about 7 years of tribulation, and I'm telling you, it's not there. And so he says that for 42 months, these non-Jewish people would trample the holy city. Now, do your math on 42 months and divide 12 into it. What you'll come up with is 3.5 years. And you have to remember, he'll give days, he gives months, he gives time, times, and half time. All right, the Jewish month was a 30-day month. So if you do your math on these things, you're going to find all these numbers that he gives you concerning a period of time is going to come out for 3.5 years. Not 7, but 3.5, okay? And so he said they'll trample this underfoot for 42 months, the holy city. And then Jesus told John that he was going to give to his two witnesses, and that they would prophesy 1,260 days. That's 42 months or 3.5 years. Here again, do your math on it. During that time that they're prophesying, they're going to be clothed with sackcloth. In other words, this is like a dress of humility, okay? In honor to God. Now, the two witnesses are the two olive trees and two candlesticks that stand before the God of the earth. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you if you would to go to Zechariah and look at chapter 4 in Zechariah, because I see a lot of similarity here with these witnesses, with these candlesticks, okay?
Chapter 4?
Yeah, just read chapter 4. That way you can have the whole context together.
Okay. And the angel that talked with me came again and woke me, as a man that is waken out of his sleep, and said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof." So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, "Don't you know what these are?" And I said, "No, my lord." Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7 which are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro the whole earth.
Remember the 7 spirit, the 7 eyes? Okay.
Yeah. Then I answered and said to him, "What are these 2 olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof?" And I answered again and said to him, "What are these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?" And he answered me and said, "Knowest thou not, don't you know what these are?" And I said, "No, my lord." Then he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
All right, here's what I want you to get a picture of.
Yeah.
He's seeing the lampstand with bowls on top, and then the olive tree, which is symbolizing olive oil, is what was used as a fuel, and there's a constant supply of oil that goes into those bowls to where those lampstands keep burning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so when you get into the Revelation, he's talking about the two witnesses. Now, here again, you have to get this understanding of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit, the oil that's applying the light to the lampstands, the Word is giving the illumination, the Spirit is revealing the Word to give the illumination. And so the Spirit is always making the Word come alive, if I can say it that way. Okay? And so the two witnesses are the oil, the Holy Spirit, the light, the candlestick symbolizing the Word of God, and the inspiration of the Spirit illuminating the Word of God. And the two witnesses are inspired by the Spirit of God to speak forth His Word. These are two witnesses. There are two, in the Revelation here, they will be two men, as appears. And so they're going to speak forth the Word that will illuminate people. That doesn't mean anybody's listening to it. But nevertheless, they're prophesying for this period of time. Okay? Now, if anyone tries to harm these two witnesses who are giving the Word of God by the Spirit of God, it says fire will proceed out of the mouth and devour their enemies. And anyone who tries to hurt these witnesses is going to be killed by that fire that comes out of their mouth. Now, people speculate on who the two witnesses are. The truth of the matter is, we do not know because he does not say, he does not give a name to these two people. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's two people that are representing the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so consequently, some people say, well, this is Elijah and Moses, Elijah being the prophet representing the Spirit, Moses being the one representing the law. Others say that these two witnesses have to be Enoch and Elijah because it tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. Enoch didn't die and Elijah didn't die, so that has to be them because they're going to be killed. Here again, all of it is speculation. And here's what I find in the Revelation, and I've heard it taught more times than I can count, you know, than I can remember. And most of what I hear is speculation. Stay with the Scriptures and don't try to read into the Scriptures what's not there by putting names on, well, this has to be this, this has to be this. I don't know who it is, but I know this. They're going to operate by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That I do know. They will be inspired by God. That's the thing that you need to grasp hold of. What difference does it make who they are? What difference does it make to you? Just bragging right so you can tell somebody I know who they are? God's reserved that for Himself. What we need to know is the message that's being conveyed. How important it is to listen to the inspired Word of God. I listen to a lot of preachers, but I don't listen to many preachers who are inspired by the Word of God. They're inspired by a lot of other stuff. And a lot of times it's just inspiring yourself, I think. I won't go there. We'll keep going. Now, these two witnesses have the ability to shut up heaven. This is another reason people say it's Elijah, because, you know, he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years and it didn't rain. So they say that has to be Elijah. Here again, that's speculation. They also have the ability to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with any calamity as they desire. So they say that's Moses, because Moses turned the water into blood in Egypt. But here again, it's speculation. Okay? That's not the issue. The issue is they have miraculous power. They operate with the power of God, and they're doing what they do under the direction of the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, when their witness is complete, in other words, when their 3.5 years is up, they finish their witness, then this beast, this dangerous animal, this creature that comes out of the bottomless pit is going to make war against them and overcome them and kill them, which is pretty incredible. Men operating with this kind of power, yet they're going to be overcome and killed. Okay? Now, it says that the dead bodies of these two witnesses are going to lie in the street of that great city. Now, he uses an epithet here. He's calling Jerusalem, Sodom, and Egypt because of its wickedness. Okay? And so he says that they're going to lie for 3.5 days in the streets there, and no one will be allowed to bury them. But he tells you that that Sodom and that Egypt is where the Lord was crucified. That's how we know it's Jerusalem. He was crucified outside the gate of Jerusalem, okay? Now, he says, people from all clans, languages, races, they're going to see the dead bodies. For 3.5 days, their dead bodies will lie in the street, and they want to be allowed to bury them. It appears to me that all this cyber world, all this technology and internet and TV and all this stuff will allow people all over to see this. You see stuff like that today. In other countries, they're more graphic than they are here in the United States. But it'll get to the point to where they have no shame, they'll show anything. And so they'll show these bodies will be seen. Nobody will be able to bury them. And then those who dwell on earth will rejoice over the death of these two witnesses. Note this, those who dwell on earth will rejoice over the death of these two witnesses to the point that it'll be like Christmas. They're going to be sending presents to one another because these two prophets who had tormented them, who lived on earth, are dead now. And so they're going to rejoice and give gifts to one another. They're happy that God's out of the way, they think. And so a great voice, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God comes into these two witnesses, and they stand up on their feet. Here, everybody, I mean, people all over the earth, they're seeing these dead bodies lie in the streets 3.5 days, and then at the end of 3.5 days, they're going to stand up on their feet. They're going to witness that as well. You understand? And then great fear will come upon all those who see them stand up on their feet. And when this happens, it says a great voice from heaven says to them, come up here. Come out of earth, come into heaven is the essence of it, okay? And this will occur while their enemies are watching them. So these two witnesses are going to ascend into heaven in a cloud. That's how Jesus ascended up, wasn't it? In a cloud. In that same hour that this happens, it says there's going to be a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city of Jerusalem will fall, and 7,000 people will be killed in this earthquake. And then those who survived the earthquake were afraid, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. It doesn't say they repented. It just says they gave glory to the God of heaven. There is a world of difference between the two. Mm-hmm. It's like when Achan was discovered, Joshua said, all right, give glory to God. In other words, you tell what you did, but it didn't stop the consequence, did it? No, God kept His word. Then she says the second woe is past, and the third woe, that word woe is grief. He said that's past, and the third one is coming. Then it says, when the seventh angel blew his trumpet, loud voices in heaven said, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord in Christ, and He will rule perpetually. Well, the seven angels haven't sounded yet. So this can't be chronological. You see where I'm coming from? And so it says, the 24 elders who sat on their seats before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. And they said, thanks be to you, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is coming, because you've taken your great power and your rule. The races were angry. Your wrath has come. It's time to judge the dead and to give reward to your slaves, the prophets. Note that. It's time to judge the dead and give reward to your slaves, the prophet, not the wicked dead. You hear what he's saying? The saints, the prophets, the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great. It's time to destroy those who ruin the earth. And the temple of God in heaven was opened. The Ark of the Covenant was seen in His temple. Now this phenomenon brought forth lightning, voices, thunders, earthquake, and great hail. I was listening to a guy last night, I think it was, and he made the statement that this was such an awesome sight, and I agree with him. I mean, this would be absolutely incredible. But he said something I didn't agree with. He said, because no one had ever seen the Ark of the Covenant before. But that's not true. The Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines took it into their own land. And then after God started pouring out His judgment on them, they sent it back. And the Israelites, they looked into the Ark of the Covenant, and many of them died as a result. And so the Ark of the Covenant as the type had been seen. It wasn't supposed to be seen. It was supposed to be covered. But because of Israel's gross sin and violation, it had been seen. You understand? And so we can get so zealous that we forget the details. And we need to look at the details, okay? But this scene in heaven, that just tells you that what Moses saw on Mount Sinai was real, and God said, don't deviate from the pattern. You make these things exactly like you saw them in heaven. God gave him the dimensions. You with me? And so what Moses had, Bezalel, built was a type of what was in heaven. Heaven's the real. You understand? That's just the prototype that he had. All right? Now, we'll go into the next chapter.
Okay.
If we have time. We okay on time? Okay, I'll tell you what. Since our time's close, let's go ahead and take the break, and then that way we'll get into the 12th chapter without getting off the horse in the middle of the stream, okay?